Hi, this is Michael Veazey of Amazing FBA. Our sister podcast, The 10K Collective, is the world's newest e-commerce podcast. It's geared to the exact needs of 6, 7, and 8-figure Amazon and e-commerce business leaders. It's actionable but focused on how to scale your business and grow really fast for sale or long-term profit, not short-term hacks. We have in-depth talks with real e-commerce sellers and experts in industries like sourcing, team building, and managing cash. To find us, just search your podcast app for 10K Collective. That's 10K for kilo, COLLECTIVE. We are live on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Android, Stitcher, and Spotify, to name but a few of the apps we're rolling out to. Or you can go to 10kcollective.com for show notes or to listen online.
I hereby introduce to you Mr. Michael Veazey.
Hey, 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 welcome to Amazing FBA, the place to be for UK-based Amazon entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Michael Veazey. Welcome to the show. Hey there, folks. Welcome to Q&A Tuesday. It's not every single Tuesday, but every so often put together a Q&A Tuesday based around the questions that come up in our Facebook group. This is largely geared to the needs of newcomers, but as you're here today, we've got a newbie question and a more advanced question, or at least a question for somebody who's doing some revenue in the US. Anyway, so the first place to go if you want to get your questions answered and, of course, see the other questions and answers that other people are giving in the group is the Facebook group, amazingfba.com/FB. That's amazing, F for Freddy, B for Bertie, A for Alpha, .com/F for face, and B for book. Okay, amazingfba.com/FB. That's where today's questions come from. Okay, so our next question is far more complex and nuanced, and I don't have the answer, but I got some answers. So, question from, I think, Christo Serenev, if I get it right. I don't read Cyrillic alphabet very well. So, Christo, if I'm getting your name right. He says, guys, tax question from a foreigner, presumably meaning outside of the US. I've got an LLC registered in Delaware, and I've talked to CPA, EA, and one consultant. The CPA told me I shouldn't file 5472. EA told me I should. The CPA and consultant told me file 1040NR. EA told me I shouldn't. I've paid $250 commission to the consultant, but I started to doubt his knowledge. Who should I listen to? Should I file 5472? Should I file 1040NR? How do you deal with your taxes? Thank you. So I said, this is an excellent question, which I think it is. The question of taxes, and specifically sales taxes, is a really difficult question. So I've literally just interviewed today Paul Ruffelson, who's an expert tax lawyer. We've got an episode coming out soon on the new podcast, the 10K Collective podcast, which if you haven't listened to it yet, is the place for 6, 7, and 8-figure Amazon sellers and e-commerce sellers who sell on Amazon to a degree. The episode's only coming out in late July because we've already got a ton of great interviews lined up. But if you'd like early access, Christa, and you're listening to this, then email me. We can probably sort something out for you. So to come to the question then, to answer a question like that properly obviously implies knowing multiple things. The most important, though, being, are you selling only on Amazon? And I presume we're talking about sales tax. If it's income tax or corporate tax, then I really can't help. And forgive me, I may have got the numbers wrong. The other question is, what level of revenue are you at? So it's hard to give advice, but the simple summary of Paul's advice, at least around sales tax, and I should nuance that. If you're talking about sales tax, and if you only sell on Amazon, do not file anything. Do not register with the states. Do not file taxes. That said, I am obviously not a tax lawyer or any kind of lawyer, and there are many people who would disagree with that statement I've just made. I'm just passing on what I understand from the interview. Now, it could be that you've already registered for tax with some states or all states that you could be liable for, in which case you're in a different situation. So all I can say is get in touch, and I can put you in touch with Paul if you want to explore it further. Just email michael@amazingfba.com. That's Michael, M-I-C-H-A-E-L at amazingfba.com. Amazing, F for Freddie, B for Bertie, A for Alpha.com. I have no affiliate deal, by the way. I don't think American lawyers are allowed to make affiliate deals. But certainly I don't have one with Paul. I have no strong opinion either way, because I'm not claiming any sales tax expertise whatsoever, because it's a very complex area. And clearly, if people who know a lot more about it than me disagree absolutely on fundamentals, then I can't claim to be, you know, more expert than them. And I do not claim that. What I am saying, though, is it's absolutely worth looking into from the ground up the fundamental question of should you even register with any states at all for sales tax. And the reason I understand from Paul, and you'll be able to hear a lot more about this when this episode comes out in the 10K Collective, is very simple. And that is basically, well, it's a simplest version, right? My understanding as a non-lawyer, right, is basically that most of the states have already agreed with Amazon that, or with marketplaces, that they are going to go directly to the marketplaces, in this case, Amazon, and take the tax directly from Amazon. So that's already happening in New York State, apparently, and that is due to come in many of the big states like California. In fact, it's only a couple of the really big revenue e-commerce states like Florida that aren't complying with this, and they're likely to start complying over the next while. So that's maybe breaking news for some people. It certainly was a revelation to me. I've sat in a lot of masterminds where people talked about US sales tax. They're masterminds with UK-based sellers mostly, but not only. And there's been a lot of confusion about it. There probably will continue to be a lot of discussion about it. But my understanding from Paul is basically the advice is pretty simple, which is, you know, there are lots of legal complications, and listen to the episode if you want to know what those all are. But fundamentally, it comes down to a simple idea, which is don't register for sales tax at all as an individual seller. The only two exceptions might be if you're doing really big numbers off Amazon, which is to say a Shopify business that's doing, you know, $20,000 overall. So maybe, you know, a few thousand dollars per individual state, probably not, should not be registering, as I understand. Now, that is a slightly less concrete thing, because there is no kind of, you are fundamentally in the frame for sales tax if you're selling direct to the consumer. However, there is a constitutional defense, as I understand it. Again, I'm not a lawyer, which is basically that it is unconstitutional to require a business to do things in an excessively burdensome way, because that goes against the constitutional aim, which is to create good interstate commerce. And that apparently would get in the way. Right, this is an Amazon seller's understanding and slash interviewer's understanding of a lawyer. So this is not the gospel. This is not the lawyer's opinion, let alone an opinion about your individual business. So number one, listen to other people who are experts in this area, or at least they claim to be. And number two, if in doubt, go and pay a lawyer and get some advice. Because honestly, if nothing else, the mental clarity you need to get around this stuff is really important. Now, just to come back to your question, Calista, I don't even know what an EA is, to be quite honest. A CPA obviously is an accountant in the US space. It's presumably an e-commerce attorney, I guess, and then a consultant. So, you know, it's not an easy area. If you do get to talk to Paul Ruffelson, then he's a very, very expert. There may be other people out there he claimed to be as expert, but just bear in mind, this is a man who worked on tax strategy for Microsoft, General Electric, and is pretty serious about this stuff. So it does sound like a mutating situation. What I would say is it's not a situation to plunge into just doing stuff out of panic or feeling bullied by the states. It is something to calmly piece together a clear picture. Okay, that much at least is very clear to me as a non-expert in sales tax. Rushing to comply with laws which are changing by the month, certainly, almost by the day, is probably not the right approach. That is what I gleaned from Paul. I am also going to be interviewing people who have the absolute opposite opinion on the podcast as well. That is the 10K Collective podcast, not the Amazing FBA podcast. As I say, this is primarily geared to the needs of newer sellers or people who are still considering getting into selling. And if that's you, then most of our content is geared to you. But this one came up organically, and I thought, you know what, let's not separate it out. But also, it's a reminder that the 10K Collective podcast exists, and there's a good reason why it exists, because if you don't have any product live, there's no particular reason to worry about sales tax yet. But if you do have product live, or you have revenue building that's substantial, then you need to deal with the issue of sales tax. And one of the ways to deal with it might be to investigate very, very thoroughly and then not change anything. But there's a big difference between not doing anything out of ignorance and choosing to do nothing as the best course of action after thorough investigation. And in my opinion, again, I'm not an expert in this, but it's very clear there's a lot of controversy between some pretty clever people. I think it therefore merits some detailed investigation. I think it's a little bit different from other threats to business that exist, like Brexit and the Trump tariffs. Okay, so let's talk about those for a second, just because they're kind of relevant. I think they're very similar in some ways. The Trump tariffs, or the import tariffs imposed largely directly by the president, bypassing Congress because of sort of invoking emergency laws and stuff. And again, look, I'm not a US constitutional expert, so don't shoot me if that's not exactly right. But anyway, as an e-commerce seller, we care about the fact that they exist. They're real. They're on the goods right now. That's not speculative, right? There's nothing speculative about that. What's speculative is how long they'll be around for. We don't know, right? Will they be repealed ever? Will it be soon? Will they stick around? Will they be repealed and then put back on? That's more speculative. But for the moment, if you're importing to the US, then find the list of goods that are going to be taxed, which I believe we've done. And previously, I'll put it in the show notes if I can find it. And just go to amazingfba.com and look through the podcast there. There's quite a recent news article. We talked about that. But, you know, find the list. You can probably just Google it and then just make sure that you... check that off. So that's very, very different from sales tax, because with sales tax, there's a very big question mark, as I understand it, over the entire business of whether A, it is legal and constitutional to have sales tax, and B, whether, you know, it's even worth bothering because the goalposts are moving so quickly. So that's really quite different, I think. It superficially looks similar. I don't think it is. I think sales tax is a question of talking to some good lawyers, and import tax is just a question of check whether your product's affected and pay the money. I think it's as simple as that at the moment. Right, how long it will continue for, that's another question I cannot possibly say. And then the third area, Brexit, which is another one where sellers like to bury their heads in the sand. I mean, that is more intrinsically uncertain, because there you're not dealing with lawyers, which is bad enough. You're dealing with politicians, which is worse. I mean, okay, sales tax is a politicized question, okay? And you are dealing with politics, I guess. That's one reason why it's messy. Brexit is almost pure politics, and there's a lot of economic ramifications of it, but there doesn't seem to be any rational arguments going on about it. It's either people sort of idealistically believe in the EU, or are people idealistically opposed to it. And the fact that it might be bad economics to leave out, it doesn't seem to be getting talked about too much. But whatever, the point is there, that's a rather more nuanced kind of decision. So if you are selling in the UK, if you're importing from the China, it shouldn't make that much difference in terms of the law or import or whatever. And it's pretty unusual for people to export from the UK to the European Union. So the only place it could affect you is going to be if you're importing from China to the UK and then using the European fulfillment network that Amazon's built to fulfill to, for example, Germany. In which case, my suggestion to you right now is get cracking. It's June now. Go and get a company founded in Germany. Every EU company, as I understand it, this is broadly, again, I'm not a lawyer, but my understanding is that most European Union states will allow you to form a company in another European Union state with a lot more ease than somebody from outside the European Union. Now, if you're trying to do something in Germany, yeah, their company law is not as simple as UK company law, and that's just life. But it's going to be a lot simpler, I believe, as a hedge against all the complications, to form a German company. I say Germany because that's where most people have most sales in Europe, but it could be France, Italy, Spain, and import directly to Germany and have that path open than to have the possibility of importing into UK from China and then being blocked suddenly on October the 31st. If we have a hard Brexit, 31st of October, I believe 2019, if that's the right date, certainly it's October. We do have a hard Brexit, i.e. there's no deal with the European Union and there is, you know, complete customs kind of not blockade, but, you know, it's very impractical. That's not a great space to be in if you're doing hundreds of thousands of dollars in sales in Germany, or hundreds of thousands of euros. And one of the members of my mastermind, I can think of specifically without naming him, I think you should be doing this, my friend, because if you're doing £600,000 worth of sales per year in Germany and you're basically importing it into the UK, you're risking that. Now, I'm not saying it wouldn't be a pain to change your import sort of supply chain into Germany. Of course, that would be a pain. I'm not saying anyone should do that casually, but I think opening a company as a hedge against it over the next year and paying whatever legal fees, maybe it's a few thousand pounds, I think that's really worth it for a serious seller. And if you're a smaller seller and you can't afford that, then okay, I guess you've got to take your lumps as they come, you know, as they say. So this is much broader, by the way. This has nothing to do with one of the Facebook questions, but this is a broader theme that comes up, I think, from the question about sales tax, is really the sort of three places we can get really hit by, if you like, government decisions, government in the broader sense. So in the question of sales taxes is about the states, the individual states of the United States of America. That is not a federal level thing. The second place we're getting hurt if you're importing to the US is import taxes, which is federally driven and arguably driven by the executive, i.e. the president, more than the whole of the federal mechanism, i.e. Congress doesn't seem to be involved. I don't understand. I'm not a constitutional lawyer, so I'll stay out of that one. And then the third place the government could mess us up is Brexit, with the decisions of the UK government, or rather the complete lack of decisions, as far as I can see, for the last 3 years. It's almost the anniversary of Brexit, isn't it? I mean, this is not a good thing to celebrate particularly, but of the vote, I should say. And complete stalemate since. So I think in all these cases, it's a question of seeing things in the right spirit. So if it is a very clear, precise, legally enforceable, simple thing, which import taxes are at the moment, you just pay them. If it's a complex thing where you don't know where the hell it's going, like Brexit, you see the obvious possibilities that could go wrong and put a hedge in place against them. And then and then carry on with your life. So that's a question with Brexit, where most people aren't doing anything. And I think that's wrong. I think you should do something, but nothing drastic. Just put some obvious place things in place and then move on with your life. And then sales tax in the USA is an interesting opposite case, where a lot of people are doing a lot and getting stung for more and more and more filing and more fines and more liability. And actually, the serious lawyers seem to be saying the opposite. It looks like you should do a lot, but actually shouldn't do anything, and just let the states go after Amazon one by one, start implementing the demand on Amazon, the requirement on Amazon to collect the sales tax directly from Amazon. So very interesting times we live in. Feels like a big challenge, feels like a big problem, but actually, guess what? This is a result of success. If you have a massively free trade for long enough, there's going to be a reaction against it. And I guess Trump getting elected and Brexit votes are two sort of geopolitical signs of that globally. But that's a sort of a problem of success, because I think that globalized commerce is here to stay. It always has. There's a general tendency over the last, you know, couple of hundred years since the Industrial Revolution towards globalization. I don't think that trend is going to stop. I think it might slow down. But if you take a really long-term view, I think that's where it's going. E-commerce is growing, and it will slow down, possibly based on taxes and other things that are a weight on it. But it's, again, the trend is very strong. So the digitization of life, if you like, is another very strong trend. It's not as long as the trend towards globalization, but it's got 25-odd years behind it. The internet's been around for a while, and half of the globe's just come online recently, the 50% of the global population. So, you know, quite a big percentage of those have got Facebook accounts, and not a small percentage have got Amazon accounts. So I think we've got to just play out the long haul. If you have a massive spike in one direction, you tend to have a reaction in the other way, and then you've got to take a long view. I still think that e-commerce is just growing and will continue to grow. The trends are incredibly strong. They get slowed down by crises, but they don't stop. Digitalization generally, so being in a digital business, and if you have a retail business that's several generations old, if you're taking it online, it's got to be the right play longer term. It just has to be, because that's the overwhelming trend. Look at the high street in the UK and then look at Amazon. And the other thing is Amazon. I mean, it's a big company. It's vulnerable to antitrust legislation, but that's going to take a long time to get working. And it's amazing that it's taken so long for sales tax to get imposed on Amazon. I mean, that's been coming for a generation, really. And that's amazing it's taken so long. It's going to play out. What does it mean? it means that there'll be more costs somewhere in the system, but then everybody more or less is going to be in the same boat. So I don't think it's necessarily going to disadvantage individual sellers against each other. And, you know, maybe it will slow down e-commerce as a whole. Okay, sure. Maybe that's even overdue because it's been growing so fast. It's almost crazy. But I don't think we should really over panic about this. I mean, if e-commerce grows, slows from say 15% a year when it doubles every 6 years to 10% a year, maybe it's maybe every 5 years, I can't remember, it doubles very quickly. Maybe it slows down to 10% a year growth, in which case it doubles every 7 years. You still, if you get a business into Amazon now that's in a growing market, and you keep market share and you keep cash flowing, it's still going to become very valuable over time. So we shouldn't lose track of the bigger picture, which is to say, relative to other opportunities in terms of business, relative to other opportunities in terms of places to invest our cash, this is still a good space to be in. And relative to the problems that we can experience with import or export or business generally, it could be a lot worse. You could be Marks and Spencers with hundreds and hundreds of physical retail stores. I cycled past one the other day in, I think it was Marks and Spencers' so-called flagship store in Oxford Street, which is one of the most famous shopping streets in the world, certainly in Britain. And it was empty and shut down. And Cavendish House did the same thing. So, you know, you think we got it tough in e-commerce, you should look across the way to physical retail stores and realize, you know what, we're going to have some challenges. They're overcomable. They are beatable. Stay calm. Assess each challenge in a proper manner, appropriate to the nature of the challenge. So first of all, recognize the nature of the challenge. And this has actually provoked quite a deep conversation. At least not a conversation because it's one-sided. It's me talking to you, but it can become a conversation if you come to Facebook group and tell us what you need to know and also your thoughts. I'm always interested to hear from listeners. Genuinely love those interactions. We don't get enough. If you email me directly, unless it's a very specific thing, I'm probably not going to be able to respond to you. And that's not because I don't care or don't want to help. It's just not leveraged enough. I can't deal with that many emails when it's not, you know, servicing a client or responding to podcast guests. I'm already decked out with emails. But if you come to the Facebook group, it may take me a bit of time to respond. But I will get in there. I read everything in there, not necessarily immediately, but within a week, I would say, occasionally more if I'm hyper busy, and I will respond. And there are other people in there, sometimes some pretty big hitters as well, and not that often. Again, they're busy people, but they sometimes turn up and respond as well. So do get yourself over there and let us know your thoughts, especially around the big questions, sales tax, Trump tariffs, Brexit. These are big questions that we have to deal with in the right way. They're very different, but they have some kind of similarities, a sort of existential angst apart from anything else. It just sometimes feels like, oh God, that's it. That's the end of business as we know it. Maybe it's the end of business as we know it, and we need to develop a more sophisticated business model. In some cases, they are storms, and they are severe, but they are passing. So they are severe. They're a hurricane or a typhoon. So get yourself into your hurricane shelter, but recognize that it will blow over. So these are the sorts of judgments you've got to make all the time, right? And this is not easy stuff. Where the future goes is a hard call to make. But we've got to deal with this stuff. And I think staying calm, getting yourself really well informed and making really thoughtful decisions, not reactive, fear-led decisions, then we are going to be in the best shape we can be. Thanks so much for listening. This is your host, Michael Vizzi. If you want to join the conversation, go to the Facebook group, amazingfba.com/FB. That's F for face, B for Bertie, or B for book. And if you want to get more thoughts from the experts on these deeply important questions, then get yourself over to the 10K Collective podcast, amazingfba.com/10K, C or 10K, or you can go to our new URL, our new blog link, 10kcollective.com, where you can go directly there and read the show notes and listen to the podcast. Thanks for listening. Speak to you in the next show. Hey there, this is Michael and saying thank you for listening to the Amazing FBA episode you just listened to. Just want to mention that I mentioned at the top of the show our sister podcast, the 10K Collective e-commerce podcast, which is for 6, 7 and 8 figure sellers on Amazon. Specifically, that's who we're geared to. I'm sure that people doing bigger numbers will still have a lot of things to learn from it.
and people doing smaller numbers, sure, but it's not going to be immediately actionable for you. So if that is you, keep listening to the Amazing FBA podcast. But if you're 6, 7, or 8 figures on Amazon or e-commerce, I really think you should check it out. So I just want to give you a flavor of what's coming up, or rather just a bit of a list. Not deeply exciting as podcasts go, but I just wanted to, if you're just checking it out, know whether it's for you and what sort of topics we cover. Here's what's coming up. So first of all, an interview with our own Ashley Pierce from the 10K Collective Mastermind, who is talking about his last year in e-commerce, where he went from $750,000 in 2018 in turnover to a run rate this year of $1.25 million. So that's from scratch in 3 years. Super smart man, and he had a lot of the right skills going in. And let's be clear about that. But he didn't have tons of capital, just the conventional amount. So I still think that's an incredible result. And also, he's a really nice guy and a very, very clear-minded and feet-on-the-ground business thinker. So there's so much value. If nothing else, check that out. Really cannot urge you enough. I mean, these guys that have been in the Mastermind for nearly 2 years now have just honed their game to the nth degree. I've never heard quality discussion like I hear in there. And I don't say that because it's about me. It's not about me. I'm just privileged to work with some super smart and great people. So do check it out. Other things coming up then, lots and lots of industry expert interviews. Here's a flavour. And honestly, this is about half the list of people who've agreed to come on for an interview. So several of these are already recorded. So with Ryan Shaffett from XCube Manufacturing, we are going to be talking about custom manufacturing in China. He's been out there about 18 years. And custom manufacturing, I can't emphasise enough how much that is the future. If you're still just purely private labelling stuff, it's going to get harder and harder to make a profit with that business model. I mean, I think it's got a year or two left in it, but sooner or later you need to get onto custom manufacturing. So this is a hyper critical skill set that you should be learning, I believe, to future proof your business. Second is funding, which is another massive topic, how to fund growth. Because any scaling business, as Vern Harnish says, growth sucks cash. This is the law of gravity of scaling. Therefore, we've got to look into raising capital, and one way is debt. And Bruce Mack is going to talk to us about that. Aaron O'Sullivan is coming on from Systems Culture Impact to talk about outsourcing and company culture. And again, if you're scaling up a business, you're going to have a very painful time if you keep trying to do it yourself. Even if you've hit, say, $1 million a year equivalent, which I know some people have without a VA, guess what? You're not going to get to 2 million without a VA or basically a proper team on board. So that's something that's definitely a big barrier to entry. And also, to put it on its head, something that will add to your comfort and enjoyment of your business if you go with it. So that's a few things that we got in depth, just in a bit more superficial detail. Chris Shipfling of Providium with Jason Somerville is going to be talking about selling your FBA business, and they have a private equity take on that from the Wall Street side. So really fascinating angle on that. FBA reimbursements with Ben Chambers. Amazon often owes about $50,000 to $100,000 for any serious seller at some points in the year. How do you get your hands on that? It's just a fantastic source of cash, apart from anything else. So Amazon's got your cash. If you can get it out of the system, guess what? That's fantastically healthy for your business. Ash Munger's talking about quality control from China. He's got an incredibly detailed system for doing that. He's been out in China running IMEX sourcing for 9 years now, so he seriously knows his business backwards and sideways and in detail. Connor Gillivan's going to talk about the quick outsourcing system that FreeUp represents and how to outsource quickly and easily. Paulina Masson came on this morning. We talked about pricing, which is a very underrated and very important thing for driving profits. Will Churnland's coming back on, and we're going to talk about evaluating the competition from a real sort of standpoint of somebody who's not just looking at the numbers, although Will is super smart with numbers, but from the point of view of the overall competitive landscape. Really, as ever, Will's a brilliant Amazon thinker, always worth hearing. Kevin King's coming back on. Not even sure what we're going to be talking about yet with Kevin, but you know what? He's always a super smart guy when it comes to the marketing side, so I'm sure we have lots to learn from him. What else we got coming up? Amazon account suspension with Joshua Price, launching to overseas markets with John Cant, PPC advertising and profit margins with Mike Zagare of PPC Entourage. What else? Chris Rawlings is coming back from Judo Launch. Presumably we'll be talking about launch. Alex Oxford is coming on to talk about sales tax. He is super smart at explaining this stuff in very simple terms, but yet dealing with all the details as well. Alex is absolutely a critical person to listen to if you sell in the USA. Kostas Anastasiadis is coming back to talk about short-term funding. Brad Moss is coming back, who used to run Seller Central, so he's a super sharp guy as well. China Sourcing with Manuel Bekvar. Law for Amazon Sellers with Paul Ruffelson. Augustus Kligas is coming back on to talk about various different topics. John Cavendish talk about translations. Paul Harvey to talk about chatbots. Brian Johnson talk about PPC. Greg Mercer to talk about product research. Nadine Eich to talk about Germany and customer service in Germany. And probably going to get my old accountant, Penny Lowe, back to talk about bookkeeping basics. Whew. We have, as you can tell, an incredible amount of really practical, useful content coming up, a lot of which is already recorded and is definitely coming out over the next few weeks. So get yourself over there, folks. It's just a place you need to be. This is not just a bunch of let's fill the airways with the latest kind of hack that's going to die in 2 months. I'm taking care to really focus on content that is as evergreen as possible. Why? Because then you listen once and implement over multiple years, or at least months, and then you get the payoff over time, so you get better return on your listening time, if you like. And I think that's a really important metric. Return on listening for me is something I aim to give you in spades. So get yourself over there. 10K Collective is the thing you need to look for. 10K Collective e-commerce podcast, to give it the full title. You can look on iTunes, aka Apple Podcasts apps, or Stitcher. We should be on Spotify any minute now, and we're just waiting to get ourselves on Google Play and Google Podcasts. So it will be more and more available. If you can't find it on your listening device, your preferred device, then just go to the website and you can listen directly there. 10kcollective.com. That's 10k, 10k for kilo. Collective is collective.com. That's 10kcollective.com. Thanks so much for listening to such a very, very lengthy post-roll pitch, if you like. I'm not actually selling anything, so it's not a pitch in any strict sense. It's free and it always will be. Of course, we will mention paid services from time to time, but I believe in giving like 95%, 99% value and a little pitch at the end. So it's not going to be a pitch fest. We are just aiming to build massive goodwill and getting ourselves out there and known. And of course, we hope to attract some wonderful people to our masterminds, and if people can use the services that some of our experts provide, so much the better. But really, that's our main thrust, is to get ourselves out there and build goodwill. So you know more than you're ever going to need to know in life about this podcast. Get yourself over there and listen. Stop listening to Amazing FBA. What are you still doing here? I'm going to go and have a cup of tea. I suggest you go and do the same, and I'll speak to you in the next show.